Welcome to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR. Sounders FC Soccer is brought to you by Fred Meyer, fresh for everyone. The Sounders FC Postmatch Show starts now.
Well, about 10 minutes ago, we thought we were going to have a very different postgame show, but here we are now at 4:52 on this Saturday, just a few minutes away from what we just watched. Who's ready for a party? We're going to have a party. Jackson Feltz, Danny Jackson, Wade Weber, we're here for the next 40 minutes or so to share a bunch of joy with you. I know you're out there listening. What an incredible game for your Seattle Sounders. They found themselves, you know, in control, probably the better team there for this match in Columbus against the Crew for much of this game. Just were not able to find that final ball and find that goal and hit the back of the net until late. And you see what happens is Bradley Wright Phillips, he scores for Columbus in the 78th minute on a goal that's a corner that's then headed down to Wright Phillips. He isn't marked, and he just taps it in for the goal there for Columbus. And then what we see is for the Seattle Sounders, changes made. We see Nicholas Ladero come off for Josh Atencio. We see Will Bruin come on for Shane O'Neill. And both of those changes for the Seattle Sounders then lead to an incredible sequence where for Javier Arrillaga, it's a corner that starts it. It eventually comes back out to Jimmy Madronda. He crosses it in, and Javier Arrillaga taps it in. And then not even 2 minutes later, Will Bruin, he has his first goal of the year, an outstanding touch. We're going to hear both these goals back-to-back in just a matter of seconds. But Danny, I'll start with you. Again, this was, and let's actually hear both of those goals. This is how it sounded just a few minutes ago with Keith Costigan.
Gianpaolo, that looked like it was going to be a free header for Atencio, but good defending. The cross back in, and the goalkeeper's missed it! Javier Arrillaga's level things up! Well, the centre back in the right place at the right time, and the Sounders are back in it. Madranda trying to take on. Madranda on his right foot pulls it back. Will Bruin, cold effort! He's through the corner! Will Bruin with a stunning finish! What a way to get your opening goal of the season! He was robbed in midweek, not this time, and the Sounders have come storming back. They lead late in Columbus.
Have a choice for Emerald Queen Casino play of the match. It's got to be Will Bruin's epic finish there. The play of the match is presented by the Emerald Queen Casino, the official casino partner of Sounders FC. Danny, we're watching the replay right here.
Yep.
How amazing was this comeback win?
It was. We were sitting, I think you mentioned it, about the 85th minute, said, geez, this could be a long post-game show talking about, you know, what was a disappointing game in some ways, obviously result-wise, but what a way to turn it around. And I think Brian Schmetzer said it at the end. We're listening to his interview on TV. It's about character. It's about the franchise. It starts in the front office. It goes all the way through the staff into the players. And whoever comes into that dressing room, year in, year out, you're bringing in new players, new blood. They buy into the ethos of what the Sounders is and has been for many, many years. Certainly when I was there. And it's about togetherness. Brian talks about the locker room, the strength. The only way to get through games where you're plugging away, you're trying to get things done, things aren't quite working out, is to believe in the North Star, right? You're going somewhere, you're doing it together. And at some point, we said it at halftime and said it pregame, is that you're waiting for a moment of magic from somebody. In this case, it was Will Bruin for the winning goal. But again, it was just persistent pressure, absorbing, getting a bit of luck here and there when the Crew were on top of us a couple of different times. But I tell you what, you know, three wins in a week, all away from home, in a variety of different ways, right? We talked about it. Demolition of Portland with quality Golazo goals. Going into Dallas, and Dallas allowing us to play that game that, as an away team, you want to play. Kind of slow, methodical, and then you bring on a Rudy Diaz and he scores it with a bit of magic coming on after 20 seconds. And then today, you start off with an extremely strong lineup. Ladero's getting his feet underneath him, was a little leggy at times, but you're giving him the minutes that will allow him to prosper down the road, and then you bring on a couple of subs, they do a decent job. You concede in a hostile environment where there is memories of a really poor performance at the end of last year in the final, but you still have the guts and the wherewithal to roll your sleeves up, keep going, finding that little bit of something, the most unexpected goal scorer in Arriaga. Right place, right time. Madronda coming in. Again, we talked about bench players. Him coming in and having an impact on both goals. These are the things you need from a squad. We were depleted, you know, several months ago in terms of bench players and strength and depth. Now we have the depth throughout the squad, and Brian Schmetzer will be incredibly excited about the result and the way that the team performed in the face of some adversity, Wade.
Exactly, Danny. There's nothing to add, really. The point of getting that sucker punch, it felt like a sucker punch when Wright Phillips rolls that ball in, and the Sounders are throttling the game. It's under control, and there's just some loose defending on a corner. Not even terrible defending. I'm seeing people saying things like, "Oh, you know, how do you leave Wright Phillips?" Well, unmarked on a corner. Well, he's marking the keeper, and that guy's always left unmarked because you have guys zoning, and it just was one of those things. It fell past Shane O'Neill in a way he couldn't do anything about. Maybe they could have done better. But that's a gut punch when you think, okay, we've won two on three games on the road in 7 days. That's pretty good, right? 6 points out of nine, that's pretty good. But that's not good enough for this squad. And to find the reserves, don't forget, they had subbed Nico out. They had, your talisman is off the field. Freddie Montero off the field. You've changed your wingbacks. Everything is changing in that moment, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they've rotated the squad enough that it doesn't matter if it's Josh Atencio and Will Bruin and Kellen Rowe and Jimmy Madronda are on the field. It doesn't matter. The people on the field have the ability, the confidence, and sort of right now that the wind in their sails to overcome any obstacle. And I do think that this is one of those games for Columbus that could be pivotal in their season, one way or the other. I think they've reached a crossroads, 6 straight losses, and what a better team to do it than our Seattle Sounders.
Oh, Caleb Porter, you're talking about gut punch. Caleb Porter, Danny, he has to just be 6 consecutive losses, and the last one comes to the Seattle Sounders. This was just such a fun game to watch. Danny, I know you wanted to jump back in. I will quickly mention what's going on there in terms of Western Conference going on. Sporting Kansas City got a draw against Minnesota today, so they, at the moment, before the Sounders had kicked off, had equalized them on points. Sounders now jump 3 points now above KC. No games in hand for either squad. So it's great to see for the Western Conference that the Seattle Sounders now have a big cushion.
You know, I was going to make just 2 quick comments, yeah, jumping on what Wade said. Madronda was involved in both goals, pivotally, from his crosses and his pass back to Bruin. But also Rui Diaz, I believe, if memory serves, on the first one, it kind of gets flicked from the back, from the corner kick. He brings it under control and sets it up that allows Madronda to cross for Arriaga. Same thing for the goal. Long ball comes in. He has a wonderful touch to pull it out of the air, drops it to Will Bruin. So, again, it's what Wade said. It's about a team, right? You know, Rui Diaz doesn't score the winning goal, but he really has an influential piece in it. And then going back to what we talked about with O'Neill and some of the comments being made, it sounds like, online. I remember vividly when I was roommates when I was a kid, at Leeds United, and Paul Robinson was my roommate. We were roommate for 2 years at the academy. He was a goalkeeper that became goalie for Leeds and Tottenham and England. And I always asked him, I said, you know, when it's 1v1 with the goalkeeper, how is it that the ball goes through your legs or just to the right or left of your foot and you just can't react? And they said, as a goalkeeper, you have an inability to move your hips from inside to out. That's why your brain doesn't allow your leg to function in a sideways motion so quickly. You can go forward and backwards, that's just instinct. But going sideways, you just watch it, 1v1s, that's what I felt like when I watched Shane O'Neill. The ball came to his right hip. He just didn't have the ability to shift his leg out because, again, going back to that conversation you had 20-odd years ago, 25 years ago, because the brain doesn't allow you to move that motion naturally. And that's what I felt with Shane O'Neill. The instinct was, he's going to clear it. Why didn't he clear it? Why did he just let it go? And it's because his body just couldn't function.
It's an unnatural movement.
It's an unnatural movement. His body couldn't function quick enough to remove his ball and clear it out.
Absolutely. Well, for your Seattle Sounders, it's absolutely incredible. And, hey, we're seeing our friend Pete Fielding right there. well, for the Seattle Sounders, listen, it's 3 points. They now took a 3-point cushion in the Western Conference, as I mentioned. As we also heard on the broadcast, and if you were watching, you heard it as well, because Christian Roldan said the focus isn't Sporting Kansas City. The focus is the New England Revolution and the Supporters' Shield, because New England now, same amount of games played, 21. New England's only 4 points away. So right now the sights are on the New England Revolution. 4 points. Seattle is most certainly in the Supporters' Shield race. It's a incredible comeback 2-1 win for your Seattle Sounders. Goal in the 88th by Arriaga. Goal in the 89th on a fantastic finish by Will Bruin. We'll continue talking about that. Another very, very important note about this game. It's the last game for a beloved Seattle Sounder. We'll tell you who that is and talk about that. And then also look ahead to what's coming up next Sunday here at Lumen Field. It is an event that you cannot miss. There's a lot coming up here on the Sounders FC postgame show. The party continues coming up on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back to the party, everybody. Sounders win. Sounders win. Go scream it from the rooftops. 9 points in 7 days. Might have to get one of these Sounder reporters who know this Seattle Sounders history so well to go back and see when the last time a Major League Soccer team took 9 points in 7 calendar days was. I don't remember it, and we've seen 9-point weeks from the Sounders, but for this team to go and not only that, on the road, seven days, 3 games, all on the road from Portland to Dallas and now to Columbus. It's a win. Your Sounders get 2 goals in the 87th officially and 89th minute. Arriaga and Will Bruin, and what a finish by Will Bruin. And the Sounders right now are 3 points up in the Western Conference standings. They're 4 back in New England in the Supporters' Shield race. Oh, what a fun week for your Sounders. It's 6-2, 1-0, and this 2-1, all 3 different wins. Really quickly, a couple things to talk about here in this next segment. First is Jimmy Traore. We teased it there in the last segment. Today was the final game for assistant coach Jimmy Traore, who, of course, had played so many minutes and games and great moments with the Seattle Sounders. We all remember his goal here at Lumen Field against Tigres and his amazing moments throughout the course of his career. But Wade, for his last week to be this weak, and you love to send somebody off, but for him personally, I don't know. The emotions must be very interesting right now for both a person like Brian and for both him and Jimmy.
It is. He's been a great asset to the club. When he came here as a player, definitely on the tail end of a great career. Anyone that wins a Champions League, that's forever going to be the thing that's mentioned first. But he bounced from a few different clubs, big enough clubs, came to America. Finished his career and then decided that he wanted to coach. That is one of those things that I've often said, that ex-players own pubs and racehorses. Coaches coach, and there's a real difference. And if you still have the mentality, the mindset of an ex-player, you're not a good coach, because a coach looks at things differently. You have a different relationship with players. You see things from a player's perspective because you used to be one, but you're no longer a player. You're not one of the lads. And it's been wonderful to watch Jimmy evolve on a personal level. He's got his UEFA license. He's headed back. He'll be reunited with his family. They've been separated due to the pandemic. So I know it's been a long time coming, but as a person, he's been involved in some of the Sounders' biggest moments, and it's a loss for the team. But everyone it's a bittersweet feeling, because they don't want to see him go, but they're happy that he's leaving for good reasons.
No, I think about Jimmy now on his soccer resume from a coaching standpoint, that he goes to Europe now with the knowledge of the U.S. system. And the players, we talked about Dallas and the players that they've sent over on Wednesday's game. They've sent a number of quality players from Bayern Munich, Villarreal, McKinney at Juventus, as have a bunch of other academies now. There's a pipeline. And I think European clubs have really bought into that. And obviously, Casey Keller and the Brad Friedels of the world, the John Harks of the world way back when in the mid-90s at Sheffield Wednesday. They really kind of like held the flag, and then the doors have been pushed wide open. And what Jimmy can provide any organization now is not just a European mentality and the way that system works, but also this new frontier of American players who can come into the continent of Europe and find their club and find their path and have proved to be successful. I think that's real value that he can bring to any organization. You know, I just made a note here. You know, his loss is not just going to be a loss for the coaching staff and Brian to have to wrap his arms around, you know, two less people in his group with obviously Gonzo and Jimmy bringing different experiences, different mindsets. But what I also think that they lose, that Brian's going to have to fill a void and or find replacement for, is they've been very fortunate to have coaches that can plug in and provide guidance for specific players. And I think about Jimmy Traore and Nuhu, right? Left-hand side player, as Jimmy was a left-hand side defender. French speaking. You know, Nuhu's going to have to find his person to go to. And I'm sure the experience that Nuhu's had over the last couple of years, he's really matured. We've seen that this year. All-star nomination, well-deserved. He's found his spot in the three. There's no question about it. That really binds into his skill set. But you always need some place to go when things are hard on and off the field. And I believe, and Wade could probably either validate this or not, is that Jimmy was probably that for him for the reasons I mentioned, from language to position. And, you know, Brian's going to have to kind of recognize that a little bit, and especially when Nuhu comes back from injury, there's going to be a few ups and downs, and Brian's going to have to be there for him and help him out.
Yeah, and, you know, one note on Jimmy Traore leaving, and we don't know exactly where he is going in Europe. There is an opportunity that the club has said for Jimmy Traore. That's this opportunity that he is departing the Sounders for. But, you know, it just gives another place in the world for the Sounders to have a connection. Because you think about all the different people who've left, you know, whether it's local, whether it's staying, you know, at Chris Little, going to Colorado, right? Or going internationally and having these relationships, you know, where you look at, you know, there's so many different relationships now throughout the world. This just adds another new relationship. And we went to somebody over in Europe and then that league. And suddenly, you know, we're talking about the Sounders brand and you know, and exactly how far this goes. I mean, if you're internationally, if you're in the soccer business, you know about the Sounders. They are the premier club of Major League Soccer, and now we just have another connection. So, I mean, obviously, we wish him the best. He's just going to rip it up where he's going, and we're so happy for him. And for this last week, three wins on the road in Portland, you know, to get, you know, whether you want to call it a revenge or not, to get this comeback win in Columbus and make it 3-for-3 in 7 days, I mean, he's going to be flying. A very, very happy man. We will miss Jimmy Traore, but what a career it's been, both as a player and coaching in Rave Green. A couple final topics to talk about with this game for the Sounders. It's a 2-1 win in Columbus, as we mentioned. We'll wrap up the conversation talking about that. We'll also look ahead to the very, very special event coming up next Sunday here at Lumen Field. One more note, the Rave Green Run, presented by Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, returns to Starfire Sports Complex and the city of Tukwila on Sunday, September 19th. Register for this exciting 5K run or walk benefiting Rave Foundation by visiting ravegreenrun.org. That's ravegreenrun.org. We'll take a break, come back, and continue the party on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back to the party. Sounders get a win 2-1 over Columbus, but it's how they got that win. You get a goal in the 78th minute from Bradley Wright Phillips. He is unmarked and in the box after a corner. That's tapped in for a 1-0 lead for Columbus. And then in the span of 2 minutes, Javier Arriaga taps in a cross from Jimmy Madronda. And then Will Bruin, Madronda lays it off to Bruin. And what a fantastic finish for Bruin's first goal of the year. In the 89th minute, Sounders take that one goal lead, get those two goals. They hold on and they pick up a big 2-1 win on the road. That is the third win on the road in 7 days for your Sounders. They are now 3 points clear at the top of the Western Conference. I mentioned Jimmy Madronda right there, and we talked about Brad Smith was my player to watch, and I specifically, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, we were talking about how in these last three games, we've seen Brad Smith start twice and Madronda start once, clearly showing that Brad Smith is the starter, Jimmy Madronda coming off the bench as the backup. But Wade, based on what we've seen, not only in this game, and specifically when he comes off the bench and helps create those two goals, but what we've seen this entire season, going into the game against Portland next Sunday, does Jimmy Madronda deserve to get that starting nod now?
You're asking me a question.
Danny, does Jimmy Majanda deserve to get that starting nod now? No,
seriously.
I'm going to defer to Wade on that question.
That question probably needs to be directed at Coach Schmetzer. Right. Jimmy's been a wonderful addition. I don't think anyone anticipated the impact he would have based on the evidence of last year. But he's had a chance to overcome early season injuries. He's worked himself into good form. He fits in well with sort of the playing ethos of the team. He's a technical player. He's not one of those guys that you're going to look at and he's a 6'4 monster. He's a clever, technical, left-footed, get you in and out of tight spaces. The goal he scored at Portland, it was magnificent, but I think that's not his greatest attribute. Brad Smith has 3 goals and 3 assists. He's the third leading scorer on the team. So you can say, okay, Jimmy is the guy, but I think they've got a good balance right now. They have a good balance, and you could choose to start either. Would you like to see Brad Smith come on in the 75th minute when you're getting a little tired? I wouldn't, and have him run at me. Nor would I want the reverse with Majanda coming on, because I'm going to have to deal with him one-on-one, and it gives Brian options. And I think, you know, Danny, experience has taught us that having backup starting level players in multiple positions on a field isn't a bad thing.
You know, Brad Smith is an out-and-out left player, right? I mean, yeah. You can't see him coming in. Majanda's done well at times. I think he came in, played in the inside a couple of games when we were really short on players. You know, Jimmy reminds me a lot of Alex Roldan in terms of the way he plays, right? Like, Brad Smith adds a different dynamic. He is a north-south runner, up and down. We talked about it at halftime. He likes to get the ball inside, then just go. And that's a nice ball to play if you're a Ladero. Just hook it around the corner into the channel. It turns the back four of the opposition team. It's a different threat. If you bring a Majanda on alongside Alex Roldan in either flank, you're more structured in how you move forward. Mm-hmm. But I think Wade's absolutely right. I think Majanda is technical. He's shown his quality. He can deliver a good cross. I think Brad Smith has been in great positions at times, and at times it's been lacking a little bit, that final real high-quality ball that we've seen actually from Alex Roldan, certainly through the course of this season. I'd be interested to see, because we always talk about relationships in pairs, you know, whether it's Ladero, Rui Diaz, you know, 10 and a 9. Alex Roldan, Yema. Done very well, right? They complement each other really well, and they've got a nice balance there. Certainly the two central midfield players. Well, if Nuhu comes back, does that then change up the dynamic of Majanda? Because you can say Nuhu has understood through maturity that his role is not to cross the halfway line. And he doesn't get beat 1v1. So unless he's overloaded a 2v1, and even a 2v1, the ball can go in behind him, he does have the athletic capability to get back. Does that allow Brian to say, you know what, with Nuhu back there, I feel more secure than a Sissoko, for example, and then I can let Majanda be a little higher up the field, knowing he's not going to track back quite as much and doesn't have that dynamic flair that Brad Smith does, but we do, in an offensive situation, he's more elevated up the field to kind of combine with Rui Diaz, and especially if Montero and Ladero play as two, in essence, number 10s in behind Rui Diaz like today. Could be an interesting one, but I do think Nuhu has to sit behind, because that would give the security of allowing Majanda to be a little bit further up.
That's interesting. We'll see what the lineup looks like against Portland next Sunday, but that's a conversation that we'll have to continue there in terms of how Nuhu coming back, and we hope that Nuhu does indeed come back and play in that Portland game, so we'll see about that. But for your Seattle Sounders, it's a 2-1 win out there in Columbus, Ohio today. 3 wins in 7 days, all on the road. And for Will Bruin, first goal of the year, you hope this is the drop that breaks the dam, and then here come the goals for Will Bruin here this year. An outstanding job. But it's time to take a break and come back and talk about what's coming up Sunday here at Lumen Field, because it is the event of the summer. It's almost here. Next Sunday, August 29th, Sounders FC and OL Reign take on their Portland rivals in a first-of-its-kind doubleheader match day here at Lumen Field. Don't miss out on all the activities surrounding this event, including the three live music music stages on site, and get your tickets today by visiting soundersfc.com/PNW-experience. Once again, that's soundersfc.com/PNW-experience. The Sounders FC match next Sunday is presented by Zulily, the online retailer featuring a new store every day. Cannot wait to get here to the stadium at about 3 p.m. The Rain play at 4, Sounders play at 7:30 against Portland. We'll talk about that match, and we'll talk about this awesome event coming up next. Once again, 2-1 win today in Columbus. More next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back to the Sounders FC postgame show. It's a 2-1 win for your Sounders in Columbus. It's the third win all on the road, coming in a total of 7 days. Of course, we know 6-2 in Portland. Then there was the 1-0 win in Dallas with a rotated squad. And then it's a 2-1 comeback win today where Javier Arriaga and Will Bruin get the goals for Seattle in the 87th and 89th minutes. Now looking ahead to what's coming up for the Sounders, there's a couple things. First off is going to be the MLS All-Star Game, and that's going to be taking place on Wednesday, August 25th. It's going to be 6:30 p.m. Pacific time as MLS All-Stars taking on Liga MX All-Stars. And for the MLS team, there are 6 Seattle Sounders. Christian Roldan, as we know, is the captain of that team. Congratulations to Captain Roldan. He will captain that MLS squad. He'll be joined by 5 other Sounders. Once again, that's Yamar, Alex Roldan, Nuhu, that's the question mark. Is Nuhu going to be available? Probably not.
No.
Raul Ruiz Diaz, Joao Paulo, and then Christian Roldan. There's your 6 Sounders All-Stars. Nicholas Ladero, not an All-Star, but of course he would have been if he was available. We all know that. So there's the All-Star game on Wednesday, and then comes Sunday. Because Sunday is going to be an absolutely incredible event here at Lumen Field. You have OL Reign taking on the Portland Thorns at 4 p.m. And then at 7:30, it's Sounders Timbers. So come, I'm getting here at 3 o'clock. It's going to be just 3 live music stages. It's going to be an incredible, incredible day as they celebrate Jimi Hendrix as well. I believe the Black Tones are playing here. So it's going to be an awesome day here at Lumen Field. So get here early, watch OL Reign Thorns, and then stay for Sounders Timbers. Wade, there's so much going on. And then, I mean, there's so much going on. And then in addition to that, we have the game itself where Portland's going to have the revenge factor of the 6-2 down there just a couple weeks ago. What are you looking to see here on this epic day about a week and a day away?
A repeat of last weekend would be just fine, Jackson. I look at this as one of those, I mentioned a pivotal moment in Columbus's season. I think Portland are looking at that weekend as a similar thing, maybe in the Giovanni Savarese era. And I say that because Portland are in Austin tonight. The Sounders are already getting ready for that game next Sunday. Portland have to play tonight in Austin. Austin are the lowest scoring team in MLS. Portland are the worst defensive team in the Western Conference, conceded more goals than anyone. The Sounders, of course, contributed to that little fact. But if the Timbers lose to the worst attacking team in the league, they're going to come into this game against Seattle with as desperate as you could be. And we know that we've seen these games enough of these Portland Seattle matches that we know anything can happen. You know, referees' notebooks can get torn up, the whole thing. I think that Seattle are using this week to rest. And I do mean rest, even though some players will be playing in the All-Star game. They're not going to play a ton. The intensity isn't the same.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of those kickoff, the stretch run with a bang moments in front of a huge crowd. And not the Hendrix thing and the Rain game prior and the everything about it has a fiesta, a carnival atmosphere that the Sounders could really use to their advantage and take it to their neighbors from the south.
You know, I agree with all those things. And I think for Brian, it's getting on the practice field again, getting some rhythm to the week. Granted, it's a late evening game on Sunday night, but the benefit of that is it allows his players to go and have the All-Star experience, which I think is Wednesday.
Wednesday's the game, yeah. But then there's events Tuesday as
well.
Right,
right. But my point being is they'll get back Thursday. They'll be on the practice field, if not Thursday, they'll be on the practice field Friday. Mm-hmm. And that'll give them 2 days on the practice field with what we will consider probably their strongest team again putting out there. And I look at the individual players. You know, Ladero looked a little sluggish today, but that's to be expected, right? We talked about he has been coming on to games when games are opened up. There's a bit more space. The players are tired. He's done well. He scored a great goal against Tigres. He was influential in other games he's been involved with, Dallas being one of them with the assist to Rui Diaz. But he just needed a game like this where he played a good chunk of minutes, and he just needed to get that out of his system. You know, he's a pro. He'll prepare himself. He's got a week not only just to rest his legs, if he's got some knocks and aches from getting back into playing three games and traveling and, right. and playing today, but also just getting, you know, getting a couple more runs in his legs, getting sharper, watching some game film. You know, he'll be able to get himself ready, I think, for Portland. He'll be ready to go. And then you look at Freddie, right? You know, again, Freddie Montero, influential week again, but he's not, you know, young in his years and his legs. 8 days off will give him time to kind of recoup. Rui Diaz will go into the All-Star game, and he'll have his chest bumped out probably a little bit further than normal as he bounces around. And he's the kind of player who will just thrive off that experience and then come back and try to show them what I'm made of as a forward, right? Portland, no better game to come back in. And then Nuhu, right? Could he come back and start? He's got 8 days prep,
that's right.
Get him some miles. Could they do some kind of full game scrimmage midweek potentially, get him, you know, a good 60, 70 minutes and under his belt? With the knowledge that he could start potentially, get through it, and then come off, and he's got some worthy guy on the bench who's going to be fit and healthy, ready to go. So I think, Brian, for me, it's again, it's all those little dynamics for each individual player. We could keep going through them all. Why having 8 days preparation for a Portland game is going to be exciting. But most importantly, it's Brian getting his players on the practice field, getting some time with them, getting a rhythm back of a week in Seattle ready for a game. That, to me, as a coaching staff, off the back of 9 points, is super exciting.
That's a great point about Nuhu, because Brian said yesterday that he was going to factor into the game. Obviously, the situation in the game didn't call right. for Nuhu to be needed, but he was going to be available. So if Nuhu had come off the bench, that revs him up. You would hopefully, fingers crossed, be able to see him play and, even more fingers crossed, start for the Sounders against Portland and do what Wade said, put out the best team possible there against the Timbers in what should be an absolutely incredible atmosphere. Next Sunday here at Lumen Field, get here early. OL Rain Thorns at 4, Sounders Timbers at 7:30. It's going to be an incredible day with live music, and as you guys said, it's a carnival. It's a festival. It's going to be what an amazing day for soccer here in Seattle coming up next Sunday. Get your tickets at soundersfc.com. That'll do it for the broadcast today, and this has been a week to remember. This I'll never forget this week. 7 days, 3 road games, you know, everything that went into the broadcast today. I hands together and everybody a round of applause for Terry Ryan. The job that Terry Ryan did today. For those of you listening, you don't know the job that our engineer Terry Ryan did. He has made this happen today. We can't thank him enough. Craig back in the studio, thank you so much. An outstanding job. Wade and Danny make it so easy for me, the absolute best in the business. So thank you all for staying tuned here. We will talk to you not only Sunday for that awesome broadcast, we'll talk to you Tuesday for Sounders Weekly, 7 p.m. right here on KJR. So make sure you tune in for that. But coming up next on KJR, we're actually going to be joining the preseason game between the Houston Texans and Dallas Cowboys in progress. Houston currently leading 7-0 over Dallas. So enjoy some preseason NFL action. That's coming next. But once again, Sounders with a 2-1 comeback win today in Columbus. NFL preseason football is next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You've been listening to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR. Sounders FC Soccer is brought to you by Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, presenting sponsor of the Rave Green Run. Register for the 5K run or walk today at ravegreenrun.org. And by Michelob Ultra, 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Tune in next Sunday, August 29th, when your Seattle Sounders take on the Portland Timbers at 7:30.